I'm no Betty or Veronica, not even Jughead. Don't you call me a Reggie, I'd rather be caught dead. Just two friends who don't know who they wanna be. Let's see them figure it out on Archie and Me.
Welcome to Archie and Me, an Archie Comics podcast. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Josh.
And you can't really tell because you're just listening, but we are both animated.
Because today we're talking about Archie's Weird Mysteries. Woohoo! Not the comic, the TV show. We should talk about the comic one day, though.
We should, yeah. How many of these have we done so far where we've covered episodes of the animated show?
Four, five?
That sounds about right.
You know, I still think about the Christmas Phantom one.
That was a good one. I really enjoyed it.
Today we're talking about Cinemadness, which is the 25th episode of Archie's Weird Mysteries, and it aired on January 31st, 2000.
This episode is Reggie-centric, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we get to see a nice little story arc for him, I think. And he learns a lesson, which is great. You know, it's a good old classic cartoon lesson.
There will be some spoilers, so go ahead and check it out. It's streaming.
Yeah, it's on Prime now, if you've got that.
I'm sure you can dig up a DVD somewhere.
Also, aren't they all on YouTube?
So at the beginning of the show, something I wanted to mention is they show you like clips from the episode. And something happens is sometimes they show you clips that don't actually appear in the episode. And that reminded me, they do that in Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, yeah.
And I always feel like it gives away too much of what happens. But it was like a fad, I guess, like that was typical for some shows.
You know, when you've got, you know, 200 cable channels or whatever, they got to keep you on the channel. So they got to say, look, this is what you're going to see in the episode. Don't change the channel.
Okay, sure, yeah. Yeah,
look at all the exciting stuff that's going to happen over the next 40 minutes.
Yeah, what if these Weird Mysteries episodes were 40 minutes long?
Candace and I have been watching quite a bit of Murder, She Wrote recently.
Oh, yeah. TV at my apartment, that's this channel. We have a Murder, She Wrote channel that's all in place. And it's our base level channel that when you turn on the TV, that's what's playing.
So we should talk about the cold opening of the episode, which features a character that has appeared multiple times on the show, but I haven't seen any of the other episodes that she's been in.
Lucinda. She's apparently in a zombie episode, which we have not watched yet. And she's watching a monster movie, and she needs her couch moved. So she's like, let me just do a little spell to... It's like a perfume.
Uh-huh.
And she pulls a monster out, who immediately is not going to help. He does move the couch, but the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
He's a monster.
Yep.
And she sends him right back. Which is kind of funny to me that, like, what we learn about Lucinda through this episode is she's very impulsive.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if she makes the best decisions. But she, you know, she's a classic kind of archetype of, like, the magical character who lives in a cabin in the woods. And she, like you said, she has spells. She has these mystical perfume that brings movie characters to life. But she's also able to send them back into the TV.
So. Sure. She pointedly says she's like mostly does love spells.
Yeah, she's like, I only use this for true love, which makes me wonder how many times has she used it.
Well, yeah, there's a point later on in the episode where Reggie goes to her and she's like, how'd you find out about me? Like, she's like, wants business. At the beginning of this episode, the Riverdale gang is hanging out in the science lab. And Reggie's doing, like, I don't know if he's doing homework or his own experiments, but a mishap happens. There's an explosion with him and Jughead in the room. And it turns into, like, Jughead covers for him so that Reggie will go to see a B-horror movie at a revival theater in town. Which I like that the town's big enough to have a revival theater.
Every town should have a revival theater. But, of course, this is Riverdale, though, right? So we get, like... beaches, but also like mountains to ski on, and also like, you know, there's everything.
The
right?
Woods.
The woods. And
what were in those woods in Nick Spencer's run?
We'll never know.
But I love this take on Jughead, where he's like a B horror movie fan, or just like a film fan in general, which is really cool.
Yeah, it fits so perfectly with this character, and unfortunately, he can't find anybody willing to go to the movies with him.
Everyone's busy.
Yeah. And the only reason Reggie goes, like you said, is because Reggie refuses to take responsibility for the chemistry lab accident, and Jughead takes it, but he's like, if I'm going to take responsibility, you got to come to the movies with me.
There's some fun jokes in here, too, where Winslet gets a movie theater. Jughead's like, oh boy, it's the 3-hour director's cut, which, like, some of these jokes are just for the adults in the room, right?
Yeah, I really fell for Jughead there, because there's nothing better than a 3-hour director's cut of a movie you love. No great movie is too long.
Sure, sure.
No bad movie is too short.
I don't know. I feel like, again, I happily on my own couch at home go, I'd cut these 10 minutes. But you know what? They don't pay me the big bucks for that. So.
That's true. Yep. Candace and I just recently watched the director's cut of King Kong by Peter Jackson.
Oh.
It was very long.
Did you like it?
It was great.
I remember, I think I did see that in theaters. I just don't remember my opinion about it at the time. What's he been up to? What's old Peter Jackson been up to?
Beatles documentaries.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, big, he likes them Beatles. And of course, like, Reggie is just complaining the entire time until he sees a starlet on screen.
Vanessa Blaze.
She is, as they refer to, a scream queen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he immediately falls in love with this actress who presumably has, you know, not been in a movie in a long time and has been dead for 20 years.
Yeah, I'll say, like, you know, as we watch the show, they play a lot with tropes that are older, mm-hmm. right? And and we've talked about this before, but I think about how children's media that we watch is like a reflection of the people who are making it,
mm-hmm.
who are not children.
Yep.
And also they're referring back to like things they watched were, you know, it kind of is like an echo chamber.
Yep.
Because we're getting so many like 50s horror, 50s, mm-hmm. I mean, all the way up into the 80s horror references throughout the series. And so because, you know, I watch as much TV as I could as a child, I'm often like, why do I know these older references? And I'm like, oh, it's, you know, you're watching references on top of references.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many, you know, classic films when you finally go to watch them, they feel so familiar because you've seen them referenced in every cartoon ever.
So I mentioned that because, like you said, they use terms like Scream Queen, mm-hmm. and things, mm-hmm. like that. And even saying like a B horror movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little kid watching this, you're like, what's an A horror movie?
So he immediately falls in love with this actress, and you see like a montage of him over the next week where he is just basically seeing the movie again and again every night.
Yeah, it's a little too obsessive, but he even gets to the point where he can like say all the dialogue. It's like him mouthing the dialogue.
He brings binoculars into the theater.
Like, Reggie, get some healthy, you know, yeah. healthy relationship habits going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I can relate. You know, everybody, you know, you get the screen crush.
You go to the movie so much, you're sitting there mouthing the words by yourself. So what ends up happening is he doesn't consider, like, when the movie was made. And he's at Pop's Diner, which we get to see a lot of in mm-hmm. this episode.
We get a great gag of Jughead drinking 3 milkshakes at once.
Yeah, and it's like his breakfast, lunch, and dinner milkshake all at once. But Jughead breaks the news like, hey man, that actress died 20 years ago in a plane crash. But the Revival Theater is going to play another one of her movies.
And this one is, it's like a biker gang film, but also with monsters that may or may not be the Gremlins.
They're grim. We're going to call them Gremlins throughout, okay? It's 100% Gremlins.
Yeah, this movie's weird. Even just the one scene we see of it over and over again.
Yeah, so it's basically like in the movie, her character's name's Carlotta.
Mm-hmm.
She beats up this guy and becomes the leader of the pack.
Mm-hmm.
But then these Gremlins appear and like take over their motorcycles and yep. such.
And one Gremlin is wearing a crown for some reason.
That's the king. That's okay. The King Gremlin.
King Gremlin.
That's how you know.
I didn't realize it was a monarchy.
Yes. Well, I think pretty sure they call him the king. So that's the system of government that works for them. Or does it? I don't know. Maybe there's a Gremlin rebellion at some point.
Do you think it's a constitutional monarchy or just
Well, again, I think it depends on how long we are into this monarchy, right? So Reggie's so obsessed with this movie and this character that he goes to see Lucinda.
Yep.
who, like, immediately is like, oh, I don't care what the spell's for. You can have, you know, oh, you want to pull someone out of a movie? Sure.
Yep.
Again, she's very impulsive.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't think of this one through, I think. Especially since Reggie's a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know, did he pay her?
I don't remember. I don't think he did.
He should.
She's in it for the love of the game.
Okay, okay.
But he takes this magical perfume, and he does basically a seance at the movie theater to bring this actress from the screen into real life. Her motorcycle comes with her, which is a very funny touch.
I love the motorcycle driving through the theater, you know?
But of course, once Reggie and her drive off, we see that the gremlins have also followed her out of the screen.
And they're just destroying the theater.
And then the next morning, it's casually revealed that, like, overnight they destroyed half the town.
Yeah. They've released animals from the zoo. And, like, no one saw them, it seems like.
Yep.
They're just, like, some weird animals or something. listeners, y'all need to convince Brandon to watch Gremlins 1 and 2.
Yep.
He's never seen them.
Never seen them.
And tonally, they're very different movies. But, you know, I'm not afraid to say it. I love Gremlins 2. If you know me, I love some camp.
Yeah, well, you're also a big Troll 2 fan, so.
Woo! I have seen Troll 2 maybe 30 times, maybe more. It's for work.
Yeah, for, is that your excuse?
I mean, it was for a show I did.
You did show me Troll 2 one Halloween, which I thought was very fun. So yeah. Maybe this Halloween we watch Gremlins.
I'm valid. We'll watch both of them. Double feature.
Double feature. Let's do it. We get some very funny scenes of Reggie introducing his new quote-unquote girlfriend to the gang. They don't realize at first that it's what's happened. They kind of have to piece it together that, wait a minute, this person was pulled out of a movie screen.
Yeah, Carlotta also does not care about them. She doesn't seem very kind.
No, she's not. She's not. She's very self-absorbed. And she has Reggie tied around her finger. At one point, we see him, like, cleaning her motorcycle with a toothbrush.
Mm-hmm. And Reggie's like, she says those are the rules. I do love that Jughead took it upon himself to go see the movie. And, like, they're playing the movie, but Carlotta and the Gremlins are not in it. And it's like, this is kind of like the weird fun horror of it. It's like a weird alternate universe where, like, the movie is still made, but it's just, like, missing dialogue and parts. And he thinks it's, like, a great artistic touch.
You know, I have to say, I love this micro-genre of, like, movies, like, metatextual movies within horror, if that makes sense. So, like, for example, I recently read for the first time Scott Snyder's Night of the Ghoul.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm also thinking of, like, Alan Moore's Cinema Purgatorio. And, of course, there's, like, modern classics like The Ring. This idea of, like, movies playing a role in the plots of horror stories. I just love it.
Yeah, Stephen Graham Jones, who is an author I'm a big fan of, he has this trilogy series. And the first one's called My Heart is a Chainsaw. And it's about someone who's, like, a fan of slasher movies. But it's also, you know, a slasher mm-hmm. in itself. And even I'm thinking of, like, Cabin of the Woods and yep. things like that, where we're at that point in history where people are making contextual references to the medium itself.
Sure.
This has reminded me. Recently, I was talking to someone who's older and was, like, trying to get younger people to explain to her, like, what does meta mean?
Mm.
And we're like, well...
Well, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what it means.
It means takes place in the metaverse, right?
Yeah, yeah. We brought her there.
She couldn't see her feet.
We all put on our Apple, what are those things called?
Vision Pros.
Yep. I don't even know anyone who has one of those.
No.
We're too poor.
Yeah, oh, that's what the coffee fund is for, right? So yeah, we can record the podcast with Vision Pros on for some reason.
Oh, I'm going to have to edit that out, Brandon.
I know, yeah. We could actually do the podcast in VR, I think.
Oh, yeah. All right, let us know if you would join us in VR as we stumble through the podcast.
They could pretend that they're in the room with us right now and, like, you know, look at you, look at me.
It's like an actual recreation of your living room.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I would, in the VR, though, I'd make myself more handsome.
Why? That'd be impossible.
Oh. Thanks, bud.
So Jughead, who has seen this movie, which is missing all the parts, finally makes a connection with the gang that, like, oh, Carlotta's from the movie. Mm-hmm. And we get this third act kind of speed up action where the gremlins who have been attacking the town, they're definitely gremlins, even though they call them imps.
Yep.
The only reason Reggie really cares finally is that they've taken over the daycare that his niece goes to.
Yep. Yep.
Where there's no adults at this daycare.
No. I think maybe they just like put the kids in there and then lock the door.
Oh, no.
I think this episode has a really good character arc for Reggie. You know, once he's kind of shaken into reality, they find Lucinda and they figure out a way to get the creatures and the actress back into the screen. But Lucinda tells Reggie, if you do this, you're going to be stuck in the movie forever. And Reggie has to decide basically to take responsibility for his actions and say, okay, I'll take responsibility and I'll be trapped in the screen forever if it, you know, if it saves Riverdale.
He does it. He goes in, and then you can tell it's an old school movie because Jughead, who knows how to run a projector, love that touch. He like literally cuts the film.
Yep.
And Lucinda has, you know, she knew the whole time that she'd be able to get Reggie out of the movie, but yeah, wanted to teach him a lesson, even though it was her fault. This yep. happened in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. Who's gonna teach her the lesson that she needs?
She doesn't need one, no.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it reminds me of the mentor witch in Teen Witch
movie, yeah,
where she kind of just like lets the teenager do whatever she wants and she's like cool about it. She like doesn't care about the actual like teaching. She's like, oh, you want to do it? Use your magic to make someone fall. And you're like, go ahead. Use it for whatever you want. Make friends. Be cool. Mm-hmm. Here comes Pop with the check. Oh, no, it got wet. It's duplicating. That's a Gremlins.
Oh.
Gremlins joke.
Well, yeah, went right over my head.
I know. Brandon's got to watch him now. I did think about watching this, and as we talk about all the fun I'm sure they had writing in these references to horror people love, I want to be in this writer's room.
Oh, I mean, you could tell that, you know, they were having fun with the show, for sure.
Yeah, we got one season of it, but in this season, there are some episodes that are multi-episode arcs.
Yes.
Which we haven't covered yet, so if there's one of those arcs you want us to cover, let us know.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't know what to expect before we had covered our first episode, but I always enjoy these ones. They're fun to do. Well, thanks again for listening, and I know that Jay and Silent Bob crossover Archie issue came out this week, but we're actually going to be covering that next week, so definitely check out that episode, and if you want to get it in your feed, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, leave us a review, that helps us out too. Follow us on social media as well. And we do have a coffee if you want to donate to the podcast.
So we can buy the Apple
Vision Pro.
Yeah, yeah.
That's at ko-fi.com/archmepodcast. And if you donate and let us know, we'll send you a sticker for free as a thank you for donating.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
I'm no Betty or Veronica, not even Jughead. Don't you call me a Reggie, I'd rather be caught dead. Just to see them figure it out. Oh.